Welcome, friends. James Corbett here on the second day of October 2013, and this is another edition of the Geneva Business Insider, where we're talking to our old friend David L. Smith there in Geneva, Switzerland, for his perspective on all matters economic, political, geopolitical, social, and otherwise at GenevaBusinessInsider.blogspot.com. Of course, that will be linked up in the show notes for this interview. So once again, David L. Smith, it's great to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be back once again. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Well, let's get right into it. A lot going on, as always, but unfortunately, it's still more of the same in many different respects, and there's a lot to cover. But I want to start with a post that you put up on your website, the Geneva Business Insider, a couple of weeks ago, talking about JP Morgan manipulations and a couple of JP Morgan whistleblowers that have come out in recent years that have been completely ignored by the CFTC, the Commodities Future Trading Commission. Surprise, surprise. Let's talk a little bit about this story and what prompted you to write this.
Sure. Well, the story surrounding silver and gold manipulation has been going on now for maybe generations. Who really knows? But certainly since the Nixon's time, there's been need to manipulate the market to conceal the fact that money printing is going on at will by the American government at any rate. The person who really got it absolutely right was President de Gaulle, who a long time ago wanted to be paid in gold. And he said he didn't think it was right for French workers' sweat to be exchanged for American printed paper. That, of course, went down like a lead balloon and created all kinds of tensions. But that is the truth of the story, is as long as you've got the reserve currency and you can print it at will, then you get everything for free. So There is the origin of the problem. The CFTC, for those who are not familiar of it, it's the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission. Their purpose is to regulate the market on everything to do with futures, which is designed around precious metals, commodities, etc. Now, curiously enough, the CFTC is filled with all the representatives from the usual suspects. The head of the CFTC at the moment is Mr. Gensler, who's finishing a five-year stint in a couple of years' time. But needless to say, he comes from Goldman Sachs. And most of those who surround him are part of the establishment put there not to provide any kind of regulation at all, but simply to make sure that regulation and any kind of enforcement is prevented from happening. So we're seeing the same model, the same business model at the SEC, the CFTC, the ISDA, all of these institutions which are meant to be self-regulating or specifically designed not to regulate at all. And we have to thank people like Mr. Larry Summers in large measure for this culture which has crept in, particularly since the time of the Clinton administration. And I have to say that when I saw he wasn't going to be appointed recently, I could only jump up and down for once in joy that the corrupt and bank-serving politicians, let's call them, have finally been stopped temporarily in their tracks, even although he was, of course, Mr. Obama's preferred choice. So, anyway, coming back to what has happened at in the gold and silver market manipulation, these markets would appear to have been manipulated for a very long time. There have been innumerable attempts by people in the market who watch the dumping of, in particular, gold and silver in the paper markets to drive the price down with using timings in the market where no sensible, sane person would try and get rid of these kind of quantities in thin markets on bank holidays or in particular prior to speeches being made by Mr. Bernanke or any horrible information being revealed. That, of course, is when they dump on the market to drive the price down. And we have seen the same thing the last 48 or so hours ever since the decision that the American government would shut down would take place. This obviously is something that, despite the fact it's happened between 15 and 20 times in the last years, is not really very good for America's image. But at the same time as that, the stock market goes up, which is counterintuitive. And of course, the gold and silver prices are driven down, which is not only counterintuitive, but corrupt and criminal and manipulative. So what has been happening? Why can this prevail? Well, it's very simple. The CFTC is in bed with the banks. It's in bed with the government. It regulates nothing. It panders to the powers that are in place. And although in the CFTC there may be a couple of people who have some degree of sincerity, and everybody has been pinning their hopes on Bart Chilton, who has been the good cop in the good cop, bad cop scenario, in reality, he's just been playing the game along in order to help achieve the same results and pacify people who are lured into trusting him for telling the truth and being on, let's call it, their side. In reality, there should not be any sides. There should very simply be an environment of regulation which, like they say in the justice world, is blind to personalities and taking one side or another and just judges on the facts. So, whistleblowers, yes, we've had several. We've had Mr. Maguire in London, who's at the LBMA. He has been a whistleblower for years. He's been on the outside of the system. There have been other people who have come forward recently and made their voices heard over a year ago. And needless to say, for a year, the CFTC has once again never done anything about it. And even when you rub their noses in the fact that they're ignoring these whistleblowers, they just proceed and say, well, we haven't found enough evidence to justify any kind of criminal or other measures at this stage. So then we come to what is the real reason for this? And you can say, how is it these people escape regulation altogether? And the most logical argument, of course, is that they're doing this on behalf of the American government, who have not come up and said, we're manipulating the gold and silver market, stay away from it. You will never get fair treatment in any of the American markets anyway, neither the stock market nor the commodities market. So why not just put your money under your pillow? Because if you try and bring it to America to invest, who knows, maybe we'll bail in the money that you deposit in banks waiting for investments anyway. So we just have an utterly corrupt financial system where everything happens in the reverse of what should happen, and nobody really does anything about it. And that is a pretty sad conclusion, but it's very obvious that's the way it's been for many years.
It certainly has, and I refer to it as bizarro world, and we certainly have seen that amplified with the quantitative easing to infinity that has taken hold of the markets recently, so that every good piece of news is a bad piece of news for the markets, because it might mean they might step off the gas pedal, or if there's bad news, then that's good news, because it means they're likely to continue. It is a really bizarre type of world we're living in, and it's so obviously a command and control economy for all intents and purposes. It may not function in the exact same way as the old Soviet Union, but it's still very much run by a central bank, and everything is being dictated from the top there. And you bring up the issue of the manipulation, the seeming manipulation in the last 48 hours, and I don't really know how else to understand this this dip in gold prices that we saw directly before the shutdown. We saw at the beginning of trading on Tuesday morning, we saw prices plummet down below the $1,300 mark where they're currently trading. There's just, as far as I can see, no explanation for it. The explanation that's being floated right now is that there's a general commodity sell-off because the shutdown will mean a slowdown in the American economy, but I'm not sure that makes sense because, of course, gold is traditionally the safe harbor of value in times of instability, especially when there's something like a government shutdown or something like that, because people won't be turning to the other safe harbor of bonds in a time like this, will they? I don't know, but again, it just doesn't make any sense to me in any other way, and I'm loath to throw up my hands and just say it must be manipulation, but I don't know how else to really fathom what's going on right now.
That's exactly right. Good is bad, bad is good. And we're really living in an Orwellian situation for the moment without the physical terror and violence, but the actual functioning is exactly that. And I don't see any end to it. There certainly won't be any end to QE, and there have been a number of people who have predicted that for a long time. All that seems to be done is that people threaten to do it, and that has a movement, an impact on the market, and then they change their mind, that has a movement. The whole the whole thing is just to maintain a status quo, which is unsustainable. And ultimately, I've been saying for years this has to collapse. So far, I've been proved spectacularly wrong, not in the principle, but certainly in the timing of it, because I would never have believed that every aspect of the system could be so corrupted as to make it possible for this kind of thing to continue. If there were any checks and balances left, if there was a legal system left, if there were to be any kind of normal operations in the market instead of central banks pumping trillions in to make the market whatever they wanted, this whole thing would have fallen apart a long time ago. And the only thing that can possibly happen is it falls apart even worse a long and distant time in the future. Or it could happen tomorrow. I mean, I have really no way of knowing. But, I have been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, at least as a part of a portfolio, as a kind of insurance policy against everything else. But the game that's being played at the moment is to drive the price down, to disgust people who are holding on to it, to release it, saying this is never, ever going to work out, because the central banks, whatever they have on their side, they can get money for nothing, and time is of no importance to them. So the criteria that would drive a normal financial decider, they are exempted from it. So you have a situation where they force people out of their positions. If you get unemployment up high enough and interest rates down low enough, then the people who a few years ago would have had a few million in the bank and living off their interest income, they're now living off their capital and perhaps selling their gold and silver to pay for it. But it is all designed to destroy the system that exists. I mean, if you had, say, a couple of million at the bank and you're earning 5% interest 6 or 7 years ago, you were earning $100,000 a year and you were fine. Now you're earning nothing and you're on food stamps. And this is exactly the business plan that the government had. They want to drive you into dependency on the state. They want to strip you of your wealth. They want to create bubbles which allow only the wealthy to benefit, which are those with large cash, large resources to invest in property, where the property market is certainly in the favored places going up, whereas in normal places it is not. And interestingly enough, in the UK, David Miliband, who is a politician I have normally extremely little respect for, he said, well, the rising tide lifts all boats, but the way the system works at the moment, it's only lifting the yachts. And this is a global system. It is exactly what's happening in the UK. It's exactly what's happening in America. And our wonderful democratic social justice president in the United States, unless he is a complete cretin, must understand this perfectly well and is very happy to go along with it. And once again, the demonstration of how happy he is to go along with it is the fact that he contemplated the appointment of Mr. Larry Summers, who is nothing more than a puppet for the banking interests and the elitist interests of America's high society.
Well, that is a good way of looking at that metaphor, the rising tide raising the yachts, and the rest of us in the dinghies hanging on for dear life are likely just to be drowned through the rising tide of these debt bubbles that are continuing to be grown and grown. And exactly as you say, I think the longer it grows, the more spectacular the pop will be. And perhaps that's also part of the game plan as well. The more that the population at large is in complete and utter dependence at that time of that popping, the better it will be for those who wish to secure control and power out of the population from that bursting exactly of the bubble. But that brings us to that other part of this that you mentioned, which is them trying, obviously, to get people to cave into the market psychology of, well, gold is just being manipulated, you can't win, so don't bother investing in it. What do you say to people who are saying, well, I've invested in this and I've just lost hundreds of dollars per ounce in the last few months because of the manipulations, it's a rigged game, I can't win, why should I play?
Well, I would say you're not really playing if all you do is you sit and you put it in your basement or wherever you have it, and you just leave it there. You're not subject to the vagaries of the market on a day-to-day basis. I mean, think about it like you think about the house you live in, maybe, is, okay, this is where I live. The only thing I need to be sure of is I have a roof over my head in the future, and I don't really care what the value of it is. I mean, if you own one house, it doesn't really matter. If you own two, then it does matter what the other one is worth, because it's an investment. So here you have the same kind of situation. You say, all right, well, I just sit on my gold. I see where the game turns out at the end of the day. And ultimately, if gold were such an unattractive asset to own, then central banks wouldn't buy it. They'd be offloading all of their gold. The Indian government wouldn't be running around trying to extract gold from their citizens and gold from the temples. So why is it that these major powerful institutions are so keen to have it, while at the same time they're trying to create an environment where everyone else are psyched into thinking they should get rid of it? It is a long-term passive investment and an insurance policy. And for me, I would certainly not get rid of it, because, again, you take the graph over the last 100 years of what's happened to the value of currencies. They've gone down to almost nothing, and the value of gold relatively, if you ignore the short-term impacts, has retained its purchasing power. And at the end of the day, the manipulation is only possible up to a certain degree. It has eventually to run out of steam. And like everything else, you know, once it's, there is, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. At the moment, the reaction is being suppressed, but the day will come when it comes along. And at that point, I think the people who've actually persevered and, you know, swallowed their grief at the fact that the price seems to be permanently in the bargain basement will be very happy they've done so.
Well, changing the focus of our sights slightly, you are, of course, situated there in Europe, not in the Eurozone, but still on the peripheries thereof. And as we had talked about in previous editions of this broadcast, we talked about how the German elections have been kind of a lid on the simmering pot of the Eurozone crisis. And obviously, they didn't want anything boiling over during that time of that election cycle in Germany. But that is over, and Queen Merkel has been re-coronated. So I suppose we can see the Euro crisis return to business as usual, which is to create fear and panic and the ever-persistent fears of imminent demise of the Euro. And, of course, attended upon that, we see, for example, Mario Draghi coming out and asking for more permanent funds to be established for the ECB to bail out banks and the like. We're starting to see all of that returning to the news cycle, and attendant upon that, we've also seen kind of a political meltdown in Italy, which threatens once again to destabilize Italy's economy and politics. Any thoughts on what's happening in the Eurozone right now and what we're likely to see in the coming months?
Well, I think I'd come back to what I said a minute ago. For every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And if you suppress the truth for months at a time in order to enable Mrs. Merkel to appear as though she's the guardian angel of not only Germany but all of Europe, then, of course, the truth has to come out. And people have been holding their breath and saying nothing, suddenly start coming up desperate for new cash like Mr. Draghi to keep the system going. And I'm no doubt in Germany, Mrs. Merkel has the same problems. Her situation as yet is not completely clear because she didn't gain an absolute majority. So she's got to cobble together a coalition with, for the moment, a fairly unsavory selection of alternatives who are either going to drive her to socialism or drive her to, green movements in the extreme, because her normal partner has fallen out. They didn't get enough votes. So the German situation may even lead to another election, who knows. But for the moment, the issues of the European Central Bank, the problems they have, the problems that Deutsche Bank has, which is, the biggest probably banking hedge fund in the world. I'm not talking about central banking, where I think that the Fed would probably win the prize for now, at least according to Warren Buffett. But, in terms of shaky banks over leveraged, then the flagship bank of Germany, Deutsche, looks in a pretty bad situation. So Draghi is there ready to pump in another trillion to keep the thing going a little bit longer. And then, of course, we have the usual comedy in Italy about whether the government will hold together. And I lived and worked in Italy for a number of years, and I always felt that Italy worked pretty well without a government. And for the moment, for some strange reason, with a government, it seems to be working pretty badly. So I'd just like to go back to the good old days where nobody ran it and everyone's putting the money in their pocket and getting on with their little regional business. And there's an old saying that with Italy, that the problem with Italy was Garibaldi, because when he united Italy, he took half of Africa with it. So the trouble is, it's taking one scale up. We had the same thing in Europe. That at the time they decided to unite Europe, they've created an equally strange monster, which ultimately will not stand the test of time.
No, it will not, but it will not be a pleasant thing to watch it collapse either, and to see all the people who get caught up in that because of the price that's paid by their political leaders, quote-unquote. And I guess if there's anything that the Americans in the audience can relate to, it's the idea that perhaps we don't need the government anyway, so what's the big deal about this shutdown? And I noticed a tweet earlier today by the FLOTUS, as they've taken to calling her, the First Lady of the United States, who tweeted out that there would be a reduction in the number of tweets from her account because of the government shutdown, which is just another sign of the absolute ridiculous nature of this times we're living through. We've covered quite a bit of ground today, but any other insights or things that you'd like to leave the viewers with today?
No, I don't think so. I think we've done a fairly good geographical coverage for now.
Absolutely. Well,
for the next interview.
Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to that in about a month's time. But in the meantime, let's tell people once again about your website and what they can find there.
Yes, my website is www.genevabusinessinsider.blogspot.com. You'll see there a link to my business site. I give my basic business is financial advice, not investment advice, but general financial advice. If you find anything of interest there, don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, you're going to have to get a shorter URL than that. But in the meantime, of course, you can always follow the link from the show notes of today's episode. And David L. Smith, great conversation as always. Looking forward to next month.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be with you again, James. Thank you.